King on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome to this Friday edition of Feedback. Well, a lot has been said about President Obama's speech last Friday about you didn't build that. Part of the line he was saying that it takes a collective effort for people to be successful. Well, we're joined today by the executive director of Cause of Action, Dan Epstein, who will tell us a little bit about what really is behind success when it comes to not only individuals, but companies. And Dan, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thank you. You know, we hear the other side saying that capitalism is what's at success, but you say, no, it's something even different than that. Share that with our audience.
Well, you know, just to give an introduction, Cause of Action, the organization that I run, is a relatively new organization in Washington, D.C. that's dedicated towards using legal tools and oversight tools to expose waste, fraud, and abuse in the government, and at the same time, educate the public about the dangers of regulatory overreach, government intervention, all of these sort of things. And two of our recent cases deal with us representing small business owners who are fighting against the government, one at the state level, the other at the federal level, because the government has decided that it's going to define what capitalism is. It's going to say federal grants are going to go to these recipients, federal rules are going to affect these businesses, state tax dollars are going to go to these businesses and not others. And I think that often you hear, well, this is capitalism, it's just the government helping determine what capitalism is. And I think that both sides of the aisle often misunderstand that the key to capitalism and honestly the success of capital development in America and worldwide is free markets. And what Cause of Action does is help educate the public about the importance of free markets, about the dangers of government intervention and how that affects the ability to create economic prosperity in our country. And I think, you know, based off the president's statements that if you have a successful business, you didn't build that. Somebody else did that for you. Or even, you know, candidate Romney's response that, you know, we have individuals who have started companies, founded companies, you know, I think both miss something key. President Obama reflects that he doesn't understand how businesses are developed in this country. You know, we have individuals who will fail 6 out of 7 times before they get a business that they're able to launch, and they're not getting bailed out by the government. They're not getting some kinds of benefits like Solyndra got, no loan guarantees. They're taking big risks to start businesses that they hope launch and become successful and help the people in their community and ultimately help themselves. You know, and at the same time, you look at Romney's response to Obama, which I think is a fair response. You know, I think it's rather clear that President Obama does not understand how markets work, does not understand how business works in this country. But I think Romney's response is interesting. He quotes individuals like Steve Jobs, Ray Kroc, and Henry Ford. And I think what's interesting about his response to the president is that everyone he identifies as a CEO. And guess what? Henry Ford, Steve Jobs, Ray Kroc, none of them are alive today. But the businesses they created are still alive. So it's not the CEOs. It's not the founders that drive American business. It's the individuals that work at those businesses. It's the other businesses that provide friendly market competition that allows you to innovate, that allows the iPhone to be created and compete with the BlackBerry and have consumers make those choices and become educated about those choices. That's what leads to freedom. And I think we have two candidates who fundamentally misconceive of what market freedom is and of what competition is.
Again, talking with Dan Epstein, the executive director of Cause of Action, their website, causeofaction.org. And, well, why does government seem to intervene in the marketplace so much? Is it that they really think they're watching out for the American citizen, or is it a control thing?
You know, I think we can take a very good lesson in why folks like President Obama think that the government needs to intervene in markets, basically from the president's own experience. This is a president who had never run a business of his own. When he graduated from law school, He went to a law firm that specializes in suing businesses, for their failure to concede to certain government regulations. And then he joined an organization called Project Vote, which receives taxpayer dollars to operate. And this is a president who fundamentally thinks that you need the government to provide incentives to create businesses. We see it in his line that the government invented the internet. President Obama believes a factually incorrect statement. The government in this country never invented the internet. The internet was begun by research labs at MIT and UCLA. It was begun by private sector technology companies. And ultimately, that led to the Department of Defense using its DARPA project to fund a lot of research because they thought there were great defense uses and utilities to the internet. But ultimately, the president subscribes to a myth. The private sector created the internet. The government helped fund subsequent projects, and the government had an interest. But the fact that this president believes a false statement like that shows that this is a president who fundamentally does not believe that any individual is capable on his own, using his community, using the people that he's found to help build a business, using his sense of what ideas might work in this country. The president doesn't believe that there's anything like individual entrepreneurship, that there's anything like independent innovation. It all depends upon the idea of government setting up infrastructure, setting up market influence. That's why this president believes that something like a loan guarantee, that's almost $1 billion of tax dollars, is going to help create jobs in this country. But that's a complete myth, and we've seen it. We've seen Solyndra fail on the American taxpayer's dime. And what has the president said in response? Well, we may have needed to have a bigger stimulus. We may need to continue funding grants to nonprofit organizations like Project Vote. That's market failure, and the president fundamentally doesn't understand that.
With the free market system, and I'm a big believer in that as well, but for listeners out there that don't quite maybe buy into the whole system, free market system, this works for the big companies, like a Ford Motor Company, all the way down to a neighborhood, say, coffee shop?
Yes.
So,
I think Milton Friedman had a great example. If people don't understand what a free market system is, and I think, oftentimes we talk about free markets, but what we're really talking about is open markets. We're talking about a system where anyone from, the farmer in Kansas to the business person in New York, that they have the ability to test their ideas and market ideas that ultimately can add value to consumers. And let me give you an example that came from Nobel Prize-winning economist Milton Friedman.
Okay.
Milton Friedman was visiting China, and he started talking to a Maoist party boss. And he noticed that the Maoist party boss had a bunch of the indentured servants digging ditches. And Milton Friedman asked, well, you have all of these individuals using shovels to dig ditches, but you have cranes and tractors and other forms of technology that could help dig these ditches a lot quicker and without so many employees. You'd be allowing them to be freed up to do other work. And so the Maoist party boss said, well, no, I mean, we're doing this to create jobs. If they're using shovels instead of technology, we're having more laborers on the ground. We're having more jobs created. And so Milton Friedman's response was, well, then why don't you use spoons? And I think that reflects, that is the key to what a free market is about. The free market is not so much about jobs in the abstract, although jobs are important. It's about creating value, okay? And it's about using the tools available to create the most value for consumers and to create the most value for workers. And President Obama is someone who thinks the spoons is what we should do. That's why President Obama's shovel-ready jobs, his stimulus plan, that's what we've gotten. We've gotten spoons, and the spoons are broken now.
So what would you recommend? Let's say whoever the president is in this November, when elected or reelected, and they would want advice on how to get this economy turned around, what would you suggest or give your opinion to do?
Cause of action, the kind of work that we do, we have readily seen that there is a big problem in this country with the administrative state. even looking at, you know, you think about this recent rule that this guidance that came out from the Department of Health and Human Services about how to deal with the needy families, Clinton-era welfare reform, giving states the opportunity to have waivers. What we've seen is that what the American founders conceived of in this country was that most power, most of the ideas coming in our marketplace of democracy were going to be coming from local governments and state governments. And now we have a system in which the federal government has an enormous amount of control over states and localities. The stimulus bill has made localities and states dependent upon the federal government. And I think a lot of what has happened is we've had the rise in the administrative state. Most Americans don't fully appreciate that when there are environmental regulations or white-collar crimes, that these are things that are often interpreted by federal agencies, like the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, like the Environmental Protection Agency. And these agencies are full of bureaucrats that aren't directly responsive to the American people. And that's a big problem. And I think what the key is we need a president who is going to advocate policies that help limit the control that the administrative state has on American affairs, and ultimately understands that the solution to creating value in our economy, to raising GDP, is not going to be increasing the role of government. It's going to be decreasing the role of government, having limited government, and ultimately allowing the states and localities to have more influence over the activities that happen to their people and their constituents. And it's going to be allow for a system in which free markets allow for innovation, allow for the little guys to say, hey, I'm going to have the ability to launch my business without worrying about whether OSHA regulations or environmental regulations are going to effectively shut me down or, in fact, shut me out. And we're going to have a lot more competition, and we're going to have a lot more job opportunity and job growth.
Some of the people on the other side, though, will say, like, well, the small business person, we have to be there, the government, to step in, because otherwise the Walmarts will shut down the small mom and pops and take away their ability to make a living. What do you think of that?
You know, I've never met an American who bought a better product from a small business than was being offered by a big business, and fundamentally believed that that worse big business product was going to outcrowd and destroy that small business. If you offer a better product in this country, people will buy it, and your business will survive. That's why we have, you know, Tom's Shoes. Tom's Shoes are everywhere today. Is that a big business? Are they anything compared to Nike? No. But they've offered a better product for what people have wanted in casual loafers. Just like Apple was a small company once that offered a personal computer that Xerox PARC didn't offer. We don't even hear of Xerox making computers anymore. That's because that big business was taken over in the market by a smaller business that offered a better product. It is a myth by the government to think that small businesses can't compete against big businesses. In many levels, they compete on different markets. They also compete for products. You have big businesses that downsize small businesses that become greater. That's what innovation's about. And the fact that the administration fundamentally doesn't subscribe or even understand how markets work, how competition works, how innovation works, how little guys often become big guys, how little guys create products that the American people want and are willing to purchase over the products being sold by bigger corporations. The fact that this administration doesn't understand that is not only dangerous to small businesses, but is ultimately going to create an environment in which small businesses don't exist. You have ultimately big business and government. And that's what led to communism in Russia, when you had state ownership of business. That's what led to Maoist China, where ultimately you had policies where all that was focused on was creating jobs in the short run, but ultimately leading to a lot of economic loss in the long run.
When you think about the free market system, how jeopardized is it working properly with the amount of debt the U.S. has?
You know, I think the amount of debt that the United States has means that ultimately what the government has to do is it has to increase taxes. It has to also look towards its federal administrative agencies and its regulators to retrieve revenue, whether it's from business, whether it's from enforcement actions. I mean, we had the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau earlier this week. Its first act as an enforcement bureau was to settle a multi-million dollar settlement with Capital One. Okay, and that's going to be the response. The response is going to be the way that we're going to solve the debt problem is not passing an efficient budget through Congress, but using the regulatory state to bring enforcement actions that ultimately crowd out business. And if that's going to be the solution, we're not going to have people who are in positions to say, "Hey, I want to maybe innovate with a better product." Instead, they're going to not take risks. They're going to be less interested in being entrepreneurial, and that's going to effectively destroy the American dream in this country.
Okay, the group is Cause of Action. You can find them on the web at causeofaction.org. Executive Director is Dan Epstein. Look for them. Holding government accountable, it looks like you've got a job that will last a lifetime.
That's right. That's right. You know, we're recession proof.
That's right. Well, Dan, thank you so much for taking a few minutes and sharing the information.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care.
WSAU, it is 826.